It's such an honor to be with you and to share on this special day, your celebration Sunday, and to hear and see what God has done over 133 years has been amazing. God has blessed us as we serve Him in Haiti, and those years, the past 5 years, have been very difficult. Last time I was with you, I shared our family has gone through some tragedies, but in the midst of it all, God has remained faithful and has shown His faithfulness to us. And as we continue to serve Him with the various challenges that we face each and every day in this country, we continue to see His hand over what we're doing. The churches are growing. When I came in to that ministry in 2020, there were four churches, and those four churches are still in good standing. They're serving the Lord, they have leadership, and they're growing. When I came to Cape Haitian Evangelical Free Church in 2020, a lot of the people had deserted because after they heard of the passing of Enoch, they did not know what would come afterward. I'm pleased to report to you that almost every single Sunday we are having a worship service with over 600 people. And God has been faithful, and we have a vibrant women's ministry, a vibrant children's ministry. Our sales group are working well, and we continue to see God working in impacting lives. The church of Bera is growing. The church in Bursa is also growing, and as well as the Evangelical Church of Grande Rivière du Nord. And we praise the Lord for your many prayers and for your support of this ministry. And as we face so many challenges, apart from the Lord and the support of so many of you, both individually and corporately, we are so grateful for what the Lord is doing through you and to empower us to do the ministry in Haiti. This morning I want to share with you from Psalm 23, a psalm that is very familiar to all of us. And we've learned it as children, we memorize it, and we have so many good lessons that we can learn from that psalm. You know, in 1985, I was a student at Dallas Theological Seminary. And every single day, I had a motorcycle. Whether it was snow day or rain day or sunny day, I drove that motorcycle. And at a certain point, I became tired of driving it. Tired of driving it because I had to go to school, and it was snowing, and I had to go through the snow with it. I was tired because it was raining, and I still had to go to school and take my classes. And I started praying that God would give me a car. Guess what? He answered my prayer. But the car that I received was a little Ford Pinto, green, ugly. And if I dared to ask a girl out, I was in trouble because she would not get into it. I asked for a car, he gave it to me. But when I received it, I wasn't pleased and satisfied. I remember several years ago, I had a young man from my community who approached me and they said, "Pastor Caleb, I see that you have something sitting in your yard. If you could give it to me, I think my life would be changed." It was an old three-wheeler. And it has been sitting for over 5 years. I've never drove it. And he said, "If you gave it to me, my life would be changed." So I gave it to him. Several weeks later, I saw that young man taking that three-wheeler and he started driving through town. He started his own business, moving things for people who are going to the market. And I was so excited to see him every day using that which I thought was useless. About 3 months later, he came to me and said, "Pastor, I saw that you have something in your yard. If you gave it to me, it would change my life even more." You know, we never satisfied in life. We asked for a car, God gives us one. He gave us a Pinto, but we want a Chevy. He gave us a Chevy. We don't like it enough. We want a Range Rover. So many of us, each and every year, we go and, you know, change our phone. We update them. We are never satisfied. In search of being satisfied, we look for things in life. Some of us, we look for new friends. And soon we realize that we're going to be disappointed because those people that we thought would bring us joy and give us the satisfaction in life disappoint us. Some of us thought that our children would be all that we need. Some of us thought that our spouse will be all that we need. Some of us thought that having more money would give us all the satisfaction in life. And I'm here this morning to remind us that there is nothing in this life that can fully satisfy us but Jesus. And David recognized that he has someone, he has a God who supply all of his needs and who would be for him whenever he needs him. And that's when Psalm 23 makes sense to me. I love my wife, but I know she will do everything for me. But at the end, you know that there are some needs that she will never be able to meet for me. Only Jesus would. I love my children. They love me. And now they're married. And I remember I came into the reality of it when one day I flew all the way from Haiti. And I went to visit my daughter. And I told her that I was going to come and visit her. The first year when she went to college was very difficult for me. And, you know, as the overprotective dad that I am, you know, I took the first year my daughter was in college. I took 7 trips to visit her. And one day I told her, "I'm coming." I booked my travel around her. And I got to take my flight from Miami to Tallahassee. And I said, "Sweetheart, Daddy is coming to see you." "Oh, Daddy, I forgot. I planned a trip with my friends." We're going to be disappointed either even in our children when we expect even time to spend with them or time to be with them. But I'm here to remind you this morning that there is someone who is going to always be there. David started the psalm with a declaration. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Another translation put it that way: "The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I lack. Everything I need, everything I desire, everything that would bring me the joy and satisfaction, the Lord provides it." And now he is approaching the text as a shepherd. And now remember David's life. He was a shepherd tending the flock of his father. And he has experienced the life that a shepherd lives. And he has to take care of his sheep. And so he's approaching that psalm with that sentiment to tell us, what does a shepherd do? Let me tell you, the Lord is all I need is because he provides for my physical needs. He provides for my physical needs. Listen to what he said. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I lack. He lets me lie down in green pastures. What does a sheep need? He needs grass. He needs grass to survive. But not just grass, but he also needs water. And as a shepherd, David said, God is my shepherd. He provides for my physical needs. And he gives me water to drink. Now, when we live in a country like America, sometimes many of us don't see the importance of meeting the physical needs. But I'm here to tell you that a lot of places in the world, people are dying with hunger. People are in need of clothing. People are in need of clothes. And they know they cannot get it for themselves. They need to depend on the Lord to make provision. And maybe some of you facing some difficult moment and when it comes to your physical needs. Some of you are struggling even to pay the mortgage. Some of you are struggling to pay the medical bills. Some of you have a vehicle that needs repair and you need someone to come in and say, okay, I'm going to help you. I remember being in college and I wanted to go back to Haiti so bad, and I approached the dean and I said, I want you to sign the paper for me to authorize me to go to Haiti as an international student. If my dean did not sign my form I-20 for my visa, I would not be able to travel. And he looked at me and he said, Caleb, I'm sorry, I cannot sign it because you need to stay and work and pay your school bill. And I remember, I'm not going to mention his name. I said, I'm calling him James. I said, Mr. James, you know, even if I stay for the whole summer, I would not make a dent in the bill that I have. But if I go to Haiti, I think I can make more money than staying here in the States. He said, I'm sorry, Caleb, I cannot do it. And I said, Mr. James, would you please pray that God would provide for that need for me? I remember that prayer as if it was done today. He said, and we sat there in a Bible college. He said, Lord, I pray that you teach Caleb what it means to be responsible. I pray that you teach him that he needs to stay in school and work and pay his bill. I went to my room and I remember what my daddy had taught me. He said, when you are in need, the only one you have to go to is Jesus. And I went to my knees and I prayed. And I said, Lord, if it is your will that I go serve you in Haiti this summer, please provide. 2 days later, the same person, Mr. James, called me and said, Caleb, I do not understand. Someone just called the school and asked about you and asked about your needs and asked how much money you owed to the school. It was $2,479.49. And the person paid everything but the 49 cents. He said Caleb could take care of it. God cares about our physical needs. He cares about us as a person. He cares about you as an individual. He knows you by name. He knows what you need. And I'm here to remind us that all I need is God, because He provides for my physical need. He doesn't just provide for my physical need, but He also provides for my spiritual needs. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside quiet water, and He restores my life." Now, some of us, if we look back 10, 15, 20 years ago, some of us even if we look back 2 years ago, a few months ago, of what our lives was without Christ, it was disaster. But God loves us so much that He reached out and rescued us. We could have been destroyed, but His love would not let that happen, because the love of God is not limited by our failures and our sins. And that's why He died on the cross for us, so that we would be redeemed and we would be made whole. Remember in 2 Corinthians, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." God doesn't just care about our physical need, but He cares about our relationship with Him. And that's why He, each and every day, is in the business of restoring our soul. He provides for my physical needs. He provides for my spiritual needs. But He also provides direction for my life. So many times we are, and listen, He leads me along the right paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know, oftentimes we wonder, oftentimes we make so many decision that not only affect us, but affect everyone around us. Every time we come to the point where we have to decide what to do with our lives, and when we go to Him, He provides us guidance. Sometimes we feel lost, we're confused, we're looking for some of the young people. You wonder what my future will be. I'm here to remind you that our God cares about what happened to you in the next 10 years, in the next 15 years. He has a future that is right for you. He cares about what you will become. You just have to trust Him and depend on Him. He provides guidance. He provides for your spiritual needs. He provides for your physical needs. But He also provides protection in time of imminent danger. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for You are with me. It made me think back of 2020. Difficult time for the family, and Enoch passed. And I remember going to my dad and said, "Dad, we lost Enoch." And he was sitting, reading his Bible. He just tapped his finger on the Bible, and he said, "If my oldest son die, there's no reason for me to live." As a son, I look at him, and I just went and took care of the business of removing Enoch's body from the hospital and taking it to the funeral home. And after I did that, and I went home, and I sat home for about 4 or 5 days on a couch, not eating, not drinking, depressed, until I felt I could not hold on anymore, and I called Debbie and I said, honey, I don't feel good. I need to go to the hospital. That started a long story when she did everything within less than 24 hours. She made arrangement for a medical ambulance to come and pick me up in Port-au-Prince and get a small plane from our village to go to Port-au-Prince. And in the middle of COVID, they would not let her fly with me. And she stayed behind, and I don't know what's going to happen to her. I don't know what's going to happen to me. And they got me to hospital. When I got there, they told me, we don't know why you're here. I said, if you don't know why I'm here, send me home. They did send me home. But less than 24 hours later, I was feeling really bad. They called the ambulance and they picked me up and took me to the hospital. I was at a point where my oxygen level was 45. My blood pressure when I first went to the hospital was 220 over 180. I should have been dead. But God had a plan. And that's when I'm reminded that even though when I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I feel no evil, for you are with me. Have you ever felt where you are about to go? And then just don't know why he kept you alive. He has a reason for you. He has a plan for you. And it is in moments like that, songs like when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like seas below's roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Our God cares about our physical need. He cares about our spiritual need. He cares about providing guidance for us. He gives us protection in time of imminent danger. But this one, I like it. This part is, he provides me with a sense of self-worth before my enemies. Some of you have been bullied in school. Some of you have been told by your neighbors that you would be nothing in life. Some of your teachers even told you that, oh, I can count on anyone else to be somebody, but you'll never amount to anything. I remember one person telling my mom that you have 9 children, but this one, by the name of Caleb, will be nothing in life. That man worked for me as a guard for 15 years. But he thought I would be nothing in life. When people thought you worthless, God said, I'm going to make something great out of you. And that's what he says. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflow. There is a song that we sing in Haiti quite a lot. And words that you are familiar with goes like this: when I am down and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I'm on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. He elevates us in front of our enemies. People who thought nothing good could come out of us. God put them in front of us to see the blessing that he poured upon us. That's the God we serve. He provides for our physical needs. He provides for our spiritual needs. He provides direction for our lives. He provides protection in time of imminent danger. He provides me with a sense of self-worth before my enemy. I don't know when, I watch soccer a lot. And I'm a crazy, crazy fan of Brazil. And when Brazil is playing, especially with a team like Argentina, when they win, I used to take my school bus and load a group of kids in my town, and we start blowing the horn to let our enemy know that we won. When I first came to the States, the team I was introduced to was the Redskins. And so when the Redskins are playing, especially the Cowboys, and we beat the Cowboys, there is celebration. I had the opportunity of going to a game in Dallas while I was in seminary, and every time the Redskins score, we shouted in the stadium. Okay, yeah, you thought we could not do it. We're whipping you. And that's exactly the sense that you feel when you see God taking you from a situation that was so difficult that people thought that you'd never get out of. And they thought nothing good could come out of you. But now there is a God who watches over you, who doesn't let the enemy triumph. And he says, I'm going to help you have a self-worth, a sense of self-worth before your enemy. He provides for our physical needs. He provides for our spiritual needs. He provides direction for our lives. He provides protection in time of imminent danger. He provides us with a sense of self-worth before our enemy. Then the last part is that he provides us with the guarantee of eternal hope. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. If it is in this life only that we hope, life would not be worth living. I have a hope. I have eternal hope. I have a hope that I will be living for eternity with Jesus. And even though there may be trials in this life, there may be difficult moments, I'm looking for that great day when from this life I fly away. My life in him will be perfect, for I will have a lasting rest. I will no longer experience sorrows. He will wipe all my tears away. I will be with him for all eternity. I love the words of that song. when all my labors and trials are over and I am safe on that beautiful shore, I will be with him. I will be worshiping him. I will be with him for all eternity. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me. He gives us eternal hope. Sometimes life may not make sense. Sometimes we may not understand what's going on around us. Sometimes we face with difficulties, with sickness, and we're asking God why. Remember that all you need is Jesus. He will take care of you. And I want to leave you with the words of this whole song that we usually don't sing again. And it is so refreshing when we hear it. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Dark midnight was my cry, dark midnight was my cry. Dark midnight was my cry. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You may have all the rest, but give me Jesus. All we need is Jesus. He'll take care of your physical needs. He'll take care of your spiritual needs. He will provide guidance for you. He will show protection in time of imminent danger. He will provide self-worth in the midst of your enemies. But more than anything, he gives you hope that is eternal. You know, we're going to see him face to face. We're going to live with him for eternity. All our sorrows will be gone. Our tears will be wiped away. So when life doesn't make sense, you can trust him. But to trust him, you have to know him. I trust my wife because I know her. You cannot trust Jesus if you don't know him. You have to get to know him. He died on the cross for you, so that you may restore your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't know him this morning, you can get to know him as your Savior. And those of you who already know him, you can trust him because all you need is him. May God bless you.